You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Yeah. So repentance is often considered a continual process that extends beyond a one-time event. It involves ongoing self-reflection, growth, and a commitment to living in accordance with one's values and moral principles. So we are going to be learning about this principle with my pastor, Pastor Andrew Mkandawira, my pastor's Murubwanji.
Bueno, bueno, Murubwanji.
Ah, Nirubino.
Ah,
Bona, I officially claim my citizenship in Zambia.
we have dual citizenship, so we will gladly give it.
Nah, thank you so much, Mfundiswa. Pastor, how are you?
I am well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, and I'm excited.
Nice.
Because the Sabbath is almost here.
Oh, yeah, true.
You close laptop, put it there, not stress about is Pastor Andrew confirmed for next week or not, you know? Come sunset, I'm not stressing about anything. I'm happy, Mfundisi, I'm happy. Anyway, you know, we're speaking about all things repentance, Pastor, and we are wrapping it up today. And before we do that, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for us?
Let us pray. Our gracious Lord and Almighty Father, who dwell in the Most High, we come before your throne of grace this morning to bring glory and honor to your name. We thank you that you have been with us throughout this week. And now as we conclude the week, we pray your blessings to be upon us still. We ask for forgiveness from all our sins and that you cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We pray, Lord, be with us even as we speak from your word one more time. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. And put this way, we've spoken quite a number of things when it comes to repentance. And today we are looking at the continual repentance. Do I repent today and it's done? Or is it a lifelong thing? And when does it end? You know, that is what we are looking at in terms of this. So I'm putting this, why is repentance viewed as a continual process rather than a one time? Because me, I want to say, Fundis, I have repented from gossiping, I'm done. But you are saying it's not. You know, why is it? Why is it a continual thing?
It is viewed as a continual process because it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a one time thing. You repent from the sins you have committed.
Mm.
And so, if you don't sin anymore, then your repentance from the sin you committed is enough.
Mm.
But because you sin over and over, you ought to repent of those sins over and over. Now, the idea is not to willingly commit sin over and over because there's room for repentance. Mm. The idea is to repent of this sin and then move on. I mean, you repent of this sin, leave it behind, and don't commit sin willingly.
Mm.
But because you are human, you are weak in the flesh, you cannot overcome all sorts of temptation once, I mean, there and then. There has to be growth that has to take place. So you have to overcome the human nature, and that takes time. Now, that is the goal. That is the goal. That's what the Bible says. But it takes time. And so as you grow, you repent of every other sin that you commit. That is the idea of repentance. Now, listen to what the Bible says. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21 to 23, the Bible says, "And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became minister. And so the Bible is saying, yes, you were once alienated, you were once enemies because of your works, but now you have been reconciled. And because of that reconciliation, continue in the faith. Remain grounded and remain steadfast. The idea is to remain grounded and steadfast in the faith. And so every sin that we commit, we must confess it. But if we confess this sin today, we don't need to confess it again if we don't commit it again. So there must be growth every day. That's what the Bible requires of us.
What if you, sorry to jump in there, Pundis, what if you don't know that you have sinned?
So, we have instances in the Bible of people who confessed sin that they may have committed unknowingly. Job is a best example of confession of sin on behalf of his children, whom, because of their many parties, he would think perhaps they have committed sin. So he would sacrifice on their behalf. Now, the Bible says Job's righteousness would only save him and not his children. But what that example simply tells us that there are instances where we may have committed sin unknowingly, and so we ought to confess that sin. That is why there must be growth over time, over and over, because Ellen White tells us, and I'm going to be quoting what she says, the actual book. She says that God dwells in light inapproachable. And so the more we approach him, the more that light reveals error in us. And so when we grow in the spirit, we then come alive to certain things that even out of omission, we realize, oh, that was sin. Even out of unwillingness, we realize that was sin because the Spirit of God speaks to us. And so for Christians, this is the only type of wrongdoing that I, as a human being, not the Lord, would accept.
No, that was... Today it's you. Today it's you.
Yeah.
Okay. As I bring you back. me and you, yes, we must repent. Yes, we are leading the flock here. Okay. So, Mpundisi, this self, we spoke about self-awareness, right? And now we're looking at self-reaction. So this process of self-reaction, you know, how does it contribute now to the continuation of the repentance journey? Because, yeah, I've reflected, but now I'm done, you know. So how does it contribute good all the time? Assess yourself.
Yeah. Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, says, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, Moses had said that to the Israelites earlier in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 13. And when God was giving the Levitical law to the children of Israel, the reason for that law, he says, is so that they may be holy just as he is holy. So the idea of perfection and holiness is the goal of Scripture. Now, when we self-examine, when we self-reflect, we are reflecting our own image through the Word of God, which is the mirror through which we see our true state. And so self-reflection then comes to help us reach that goal, the goal of perfection, because the more we see error in ourselves, the more we want to get rid of it. The idea is, it is a journey. And so it is one day at a time. That's how you take this journey. You cannot beat yourself up and say, I will never make it. You can make it because perfection is possible.
Mm-hmm.
We must keep it as the goal. And that's what self-reflection should do. Help us walk in this journey so that we are better each day.
Mm-hmm. So, are there specific life stages, you know, or events that may prompt individuals to revisit and deepen their repentance?
Yes. The Bible gives us a few.
Okay.
And I like what Moses says in the book of Genesis. Let me read this verse. Genesis chapter 5, verse 22. Now, he is speaking about Enoch.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Bible says Enoch was a righteous man. But I like the wording, the phrasing of this verse. This is what the Bible says, Genesis 5, verse 22. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years, and he had sons and daughters. So here's the thing. Enoch had sons and daughters. Methuselah was his first child, and he had this first child when he was 65 years old. The Bible says it was after he had his first child that he began to walk with God. Ellen White says it was when Enoch saw how fragile his child was and how dependent, totally dependent he was on his parents, that Enoch understood what God is to us, how totally dependent we are on God. And so he began to walk with God because he understood that. And so from this example, there are life stages that help us deepen our faith in God and that help us revisit our repentance. This is just one example. The example in the New Testament would be that of Paul. So the Bible says, Acts chapter 9, the Bible says that Paul was a Pharisee and he thought he was right with God. Until Jesus Christ met with him. Then he saw his error and he corrected his ways. You can say the same about all of the disciples of Christ. They had to have an encounter with God for them to actually see themselves in their true light and walk the right way. Solomon tells us that sometimes God uses affliction, adversity, to bring us to a connection with himself. And so there are many instances where God would use certain aspects of our lives, certain stages, to bring us to true repentance and to walk better.
So, as we close it, Mfundiswa, how does the recognition of ongoing moral accountability influence the commitment to the repentance process? Accountability is a very tricky issue, that one. So how does it go, Mfundiswa?
I think, for one, it helps us, it rids us of complacency. Because we are Christians, we live among fellow Christians, we have a good Christian community, and all is going well, sometimes we get complacent. And so when we realize that we have a moral accountability, it helps us not to be complacent. This is what the Bible says. Let me read. Okay, let me just read one. I wanted to read two, but let's just read one.
Okay.
This is Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. This is what the Bible says. It says, Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So Paul says, beware, lest at any time you be overtaken by sin, by complacence. And so when we realize that we are accountable and that we have a moral duty to live up to that accountability, it helps us become, you know, aware, alive to the fact that we can lose our self, self-deceit at any moment. And so one thing is complacence. And I think complacence is an enemy to Christianity and to the journey of action.
Yep. Okay. Mpundis, as we close it today, if someone was like, Yazi, I've heard you, Zedede and Pastor, you know, speaking, I've learned some stuff. I could even see that you two are funny as well, you know, and you and you come up with nice examples, you know, about yourselves, you know. But what is that take home as we are about to enter the Sabbath today that I must impreed that repentance, this I must remember? If I can forget the jokes they made, their laughters, but this I must remember about repentance. When this one, what would you say that is?
Let me just read one text. This is Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. This is what the Bible says. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is any anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And so what it is that we have been discussing about, I mean, what it is we have been discussing on repentance, is the fact that God is just and faithful to forgive us of our sins when we repent. He is actually inviting us to repent. He says, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as red as scarlet, they shall be as white as wool, as snow. And so God invites us to come so that we may repent, and he is just and willing to forgive us of all unrighteousness. And when we do repent, he says it is him who makes us to will and to do of his good pleasure. And so when we repent of our sins, he then empowers us to live up to that repentance and live aright with him as reconciled beings through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. Then he says, finally, brethren, meditate on whatever is lovely, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is just, whatever is pure, so that you take this journey one day at a time, and eventually you get to perfection. This is what God is promising us. But we're not doing it in our own power. He says his spirit will always with us, be with us until the end of the world, until the end of the age, so that he may empower us. He may, by his power, bring us to complete perfection, so that he may present us to himself, pure, holy, and without blame, to his own glory.
Yep.
That would be our takeaway.
Mpundis, as we're going into the Sabbath and we have our scarf tin, our takeaway, Pastor, please do pray for us so that it we remember it all the time.
Amen. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, our Savior and Redeemer, one more time, we seek your presence. We ask, O Lord, for a thorough cleansing in the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. So from all unrighteousness, Lord, cleanse us. Separate us from that which we have done wrong in the past. And my Father, we pray, make us walk in the light of your word going forward. In the name of Jesus, we pray, be with us, save us, and grant us power to walk to perfection, because we know you are ever with us. Thank you for that which we have discussed throughout this week. May your Holy Spirit remind us of all these things. May he bring us into all truth like you promised, because we ask and pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. So be with all our listeners. Be with us too. In the name of Jesus, we pray and ask. Amen.
Amen and amen. My pastor, Zikomo Zimbiri Kwambiri. I said it correctly.
Zikomo Kwambiri.
Yes.
Thank you, man.
How do you say happy? How do you say happy Sabbath?
Happy Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh my God.
Ah, it disappeared.
So we say sabata yokoma.
Sabata yokoma.
Yes.
Lovely, lovely. So there's your namesake has just sent through a comment, Pastor Andrew Piri, saying, please thank the man of God for practicing this message and forgiving me. You see?
I was with him on Wednesday.
Yeah.
He came to visit on Wednesday,
yes.
And he actually told me that he had asked you to send me his message of forgiveness, and, of repentance.
And me, I ran away from being a middleman.
But well, he delivered it himself, so
he delivered
we are
himself.
Good.
We are good, my pastor. Thank you so much, Mpundiswami. Have yourself a blessed Sabbath.
Thank you so much. Have a blessed Sabbath too.
Amen.
Sabata yokoma.
Sabata yokoma. Yes.
Thank you.
You are tuned in to Mid Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.